To the brightest audience in the country, I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The big news today is that we have hundreds of redundant government agencies that are all doing the same things. And is that a surprise? Of course that's not a surprise. When the government goes so far beyond what God has authorized, well then it's doing too much. It tries to do everything, and it could do nothing actually well, and it becomes incompetent. So God's word will inform public policy, foreign relations, economics, and especially the fundamentals that there is a God, there is a creator. He made us in his image and his likeness. Jesus Christ is God the Son, the eternal Trinity. We trust in him for eternal life. And it turns out that those who are in rebellion against him express that rebellion in many ways, including by killing innocent children. And that is such a great tragedy, and our culture has become especially coarse and sexually immoral and not only vulgar but violent as they celebrate the killing of innocent children. Well, in January, an extraordinary woman came out to Denver, Colorado at the invitation of Colorado Right to Life, and that was Kelly Klinger. Kelly has been on the Mickey Mouse Club. She's traveled with Britney Spears as a background vocalist for her. And Kelly gave her life to the Lord back in 2003. Something she did sort of put her center stage in the battle to protect unborn children. And so I'd like to welcome Kelly Klinger to Bob Inyart Live. Hi, Kelly.
Hey.
Kelly, it's an honor to have you on this program.
It's an honor to be with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I, along with many of the pro-life activists here in Colorado, so enjoyed getting to meet you and your husband and hearing about the extraordinary life you guys have lived and your commitment to Jesus Christ. I was hoping, Kelly, that we could share some of your determination to protect children with the audience. So,
yeah.
Could you remind us how you got involved in this fight?
Sure. Well, you told a little bit about my story, and after getting saved, I started writing songs about the Lord and singing and traveling, doing that, and worked in a church for a while and led worship, and my husband was a youth pastor for a while, so, you know, we really started following the Lord in that way, and you know, teaching youth all different kinds of things, but I had two abortions in my early 20s, and it really was something that I never really shared, even in traveling and giving my testimony and talking about my life. It was kind of a part of my life that I just skipped over, and I decided a couple of years ago that it was something that I really needed to deal with, that God was really just stirring my heart about it, and so I went to Surrendering the Secret, which is a great Bible study that just deals with the pain and the hurt and the regret. And
so for a post-abortive woman who recognizes that she has done something wrong, in Jesus Christ there is not only hope, there is forgiveness, and there is eternal life. And
yes,
there are so many efforts by Christians to reach out to women who have committed this terrible act against their own children, but to say, we have all sinned. Our sins are sufficient, each one of us, to separate us forever from God.
Right.
But because Jesus Christ loves us so much, he gave his life for us, we could be forgiven.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's enough Christians that are talking about it, that are, you know, extending a hand to help women find healing. I think we could probably do a better job.
Sure.
You know, we like to make one sin worse than another and that kind of thing. But I just happened to have the lady who was kind of the head of the pro-life movement in my church in Mississippi. And so that's why pro-life issues were talked about a lot in the church. And so that's kind of why I began to deal with my own story.
Yeah. Now, Kelly, before we get to the part, because we spending time with you guys, with you and your husband, Matt Klinger, we learned so much about your background.
Yes,
and
we learned our whole crazy story.
Your whole crazy story, which is now offered up to God as a living sacrifice.
Right.
But, Kelly, there was part of that when you guys moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And if you'd rather not mention this on the air, it wasn't about you. That would be fine if you'd rather not talk about it. But it was a church that you were singing in, because some of these churches all around the country and in Atlanta are mega churches where they spend tremendous money on the music portion of their Sunday service, and you eventually saw just the most discouraging and tragic examples of acceptance of not only sin generally, but even abortion.
Yeah, I just from singing at different churches in the Atlanta area, and even from singing on prominent Christian TV stations, I was exposed to a massive amount of compromise, and it really surprised me, because coming from a secular background and coming from a place where drugs and alcohol and promiscuity and abortion and all those things were sort of commonplace, I, of course, didn't expect to come face-to-face with that in a church environment, but I was in a church in Atlanta, and the particular thing I think you're talking about is we were singing, and the pastor got up to take up an offering to pay for an abortion because the youth pastor had gotten a girl pregnant.
So now, Kelly, when you told us that story, the board of Colorado Right to Life, it was difficult for us to comprehend that this was an actual story, that
right.
You weren't telling some kind of a parable or something.
Right.
This was actually true. You were in, now the mega churches, the large churches in Atlanta, they, from what I understand, they spend a lot of money to bring in singers and musical talent for
yeah.
Sunday morning.
Yeah, they do. They pay their singers and musicians very well. And
to give the audience an idea, as much as perhaps
as much as $2,000 to $3,000 a week, they pay for musicians to come in and singers to come in.
So, in other words, for the whole band, or might that be for one person?
That would be for one person.
For one person, and
yes.
So this is—it's basically big business.
Absolutely, big business. You know, the pastors drive, you know, Bentleys and Range Rovers and those kind of things, mm. and.
We talked about this yesterday on the air, where many congregants are struggling, and the pastors of many megachurches, and some smaller, but megachurches, become multimillionaires and constantly pleading for the need for money.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So what happened then when the pastor announced that the youth director impregnated a woman, and he actually asked to take a collection to raise money to pay for her abortion. So what happened?
I don't know what happened directly after that, because I stood up and walked out.
You walked out?
Yes.
You snuck out quietly out a back door?
No. Everyone saw me leave. It was very apparent why I was leaving. Mm. And it was at that moment when I decided I can't do this anymore. Mm. I can't play church. I can't accept a paycheck. And sit in the middle of compromise, mm. that the Lord was not happy with that, obviously, and mm-hmm. that I wasn't going to be a party to it. And so I quit.
Kelly, what you and your husband, Matt, were describing to us was New Testament Christianity.
Right.
The stories, people think, oh, only if I could live during the Bible days. We are living during the Bible days.
Right.
The New Testament goes right through our decade. And, Kelly, yesterday, a Joe from Indiana called up to this show, Bob and Yurt Live, And he said, because of Colorado Right to Life and the Collaborators Project, even though I live in Indiana, he is a computer engineer, software engineer. He was offered a job working for a pharmaceutical firm that develops, markets Plan B, the morning after pill,
right?
The chemical abortifacient. And he called up to say, Bob, today I lost the job and it was your fault. And I want to thank you because I've been learning to stand up for the Lord and the innocent.
Right.
And so, Kelly, it is such a joy to count among our friends and coworkers in the Lord, Kelly Klinger and Joe from Indiana and Will Duffy and Cal Zastro, Keith Mason, so many. So could I go over then something you said right now? That was one tragic example at a church.
Right.
But you also said that when you left the secular scene, touring, for example, with Britney Spears, and you saw the immorality, homosexuality, drugs, and alcohol, when you naturally came to the Lord and made your talents available for Christian music, whether it was at churches or Christian television or even recording sessions for major Christian musicians, you're saying that it was the same scene.
Yeah, it was. It was the same scene. Still drugs, still compromise, still, I was young, but still flirting and just things that were inappropriate as far as you would think that somebody who believes in the Lord and believes in the things that the Bible says wouldn't act that way. So
yeah.
There's never been a whole big difference between what I saw in the secular community and the things that I've seen in churches.
Oh, boy. And so now hopefully, you know, one of the worst things we could do is kill an innocent child. And so here is this church in Atlanta announcing we'd like the church to raise money. Let's all chip in to
right.
abort this child. That's about as bad as you can get. But then in the rest of your experience, you talked about these terrible things that are commonplace. And, Kelly, we've been talking about this for 20 years on Bob and Yurt Live, that
right.
in Christian broadcasting, a lot of it, especially television and Christian music, in different aspects of national Christian ministry, there is such immorality and compromise. One thing, and then we could leave this topic and go on to what's more important. But
okay.
Did you even find, and I'm not sure the answer to this, was there even examples of homosexual activity within Christian music industry?
Absolutely, yes. There's been artists that were blatantly homosexual that people in the industry are aware that the people are homosexual. And a lot of these mega churches, the minister of music is homosexual. It's just accepted as the way that it is.
Mm. Yeah, so the fact that homosexuality destroys people from the inside out and God loves them enough to warn them and try to love them to humble themselves and come to him in repentance and to look for eternal life. There are a lot of Christian ministries that are not really ministries, they're businesses, and they don't seem to really care if these people are going to hell. They just use them to put out a profitable product.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, they use them to prop up their false teachings.
Mm. So, Kelly Klinger, many people in the audience, even though we've talked about things like this on and off for years, and I've seen things from my own vantage point, especially regarding national Christian ministries, many that have such moral compromise, it's tragic. But to hear from you another voice, another perspective in a different part of the Christian community, the music side of things, and which should be the worship side of things,
right?
Which is just doubly tragic, where we should be worshiping God and we're being led by people who are in rebellion against him.
Right.
So, Kelly, that's a detour. Could we then go on to you? You became a Christian. You've begun this journey to serve the Lord. And then last fall, Your life changed in a way.
Yes. In a drastic way. I do the Twitter thing and the Facebook thing, and I stay connected to friends that way. And one Saturday morning, I was on Twitter, and we are a part of the House of Prayer in Atlanta, and our director pointed out the hashtag on Twitter called I Had an Abortion. And a hashtag, for those people that don't know what that is, it's
right.
on Twitter, you can use the pound sign, and then you write something after the pound sign. And what that does is you can click on that, and then everybody who has used that specific topic, everything they have said will come up.
So it's a way of interacting with people who are interested in a topic.
Right.
And Kelly, when you say for people who don't know, you're talking about people who are old, who are over, like, 35 years of age, right?
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but probably.
Yeah. Well, Al Sharon in our studio audience, he just turned around and he was angry. Well, that includes me, too, so I'm glad you explained that. So it was your pastor who said, take a look at this?
Mm-hmm, yes. It was our director. He said, you know, I want you to click on the I Had an Abortion hashtag. And he said, I think you're going to be surprised at what you see. So I pull it up, and I was angry and sad all at the same time at what I saw, which was women who were bragging, in a sense, about their abortions. And I read things like, you know, I had an abortion, and I will never regret it. I had an abortion, and it was like getting my teeth cleaned at the dentist. Mm. It was just one thing after another, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to write my own. And so I wrote, I had an abortion.
Kelly, do you have that available to you? Is it possible if you could read that to us?
The blog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get it.
Because
initially, I just wrote on Twitter, I wrote, I had an abortion, they didn't get all of the baby, and it ruined my life.
Oh.
And what happened after that was all of those same women who were clicking on I had an abortion, my stuff came up.
Right.
And within about 10 minutes, I was attacked by those same women.
Yeah, and why shouldn't they be tolerant and supportive and accept diversity and people's different experiences? All that is exposed as a lie when somebody tries to stand up for an innocent child.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was, I thought, you know, I guess I thought that this was a group that was for women, that was for our truths, that was for our stories, no matter what our story was. And I realized that after I wrote it, that they didn't want my story.
Right.
And
So just so I can understand, the people who say that what they value is free speech and diversity and tolerance, respecting all views, that's all a scam. None of that is true.
Right.
What they like is people expressing their rebellion against God. That's what they're comfortable with.
Right.
Yeah. We see that every day here.
Well, I mean, I was reminded the other day, it's murder. It's a spirit of murder. Mm. So there's so much anger and hatred behind it.
Mm.
And I was just so surprised at how angry they were when addressing me. Like, how dare I share my side of the story?
Mm-hmm.
So I answered the entire thing by writing a blog. And I have the blog right here. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, please do. When I first read it, I shared it with my wife. It's so important. Please do.
Okay. It says, this week has been a complete hell. Someone asked if I had heard about the doctor in Orlando who had been in a lot of trouble. And when I searched for news about it, I realized it was the doctor who did my abortion. He has now had his medical license suspended for the fourth time, this time for performing late-term abortions past the time when they're legal. When I saw a picture of the clinic, I crumbled. When I saw a picture of the doctor, I began weeping and I couldn't stop. Every sight, every sound, every feeling came back. I can still remember the poster on the ceiling. It was the last thing I saw before I fell asleep from the anesthesia, and it was the first thing I saw when I woke up. The article is full of stories about women like me, ones who have suffered for months, even years, because of incomplete abortions. There was a woman who was awake and saw her baby being pulled from her as his body fell apart in the doctor's hands.
Oh, my.
They had her frantic 911 call when she decided she wanted the baby to live after seeing that it actually is a baby. But no one at the clinic would help, and by the time the ambulance arrived, the baby was dead. It's an uncomfortable subject because if I call it a baby, if I admit that it was a boy or a girl who had 10 fingers and 10 toes and a life that was already mapped out by God, then I am calling myself a killer. If I talk about it, blog about it, pray about it, then that makes it real. But just when I think I've pushed the memories far enough behind that they won't catch up with me, there they are again. The self-hatred is paralyzing. It lurks closely and tells me that I don't deserve happiness. The guilt is suffocating, and it has affected every relationship I have. I would take a bullet for my out-of-the-womb children. Why didn't I protect the ones inside? I have given up hope that the past could have been different. I cannot change what I did. Every Bible study, counseling session, and prayer seems to just be a Band-Aid over a wound that will never heal. So I will be a voice for my children who only know heaven. I will be a voice for the millions of women who live in regret, guilt, self-hatred, and fear of being found out. I will be painfully honest about every feeling I have, and I will stand up for life even when it's unpopular and politically incorrect. Because if I don't take this pain and make it my purpose, I think it might kill me.
Wow. Kelly, Jesus Christ will wipe away our tears, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? And some people, I think, somewhat understandably, when we hear a story like yours, the tragedy that I've brought onto people I love because of my past sin, we think that, well, God is like a magician, and we get to heaven and immediately everything is all smiles. But the Bible talks about a form of suffering in heaven by the sadness of what we will lose. And when we're told that Jesus will wipe away our tears, he will restore us and make us right. But there's going to be an awareness that there was great tragedies that were brought about because of our own selfishness.
Right.
But he will wipe away those tears. Have you studied in God's word? Have you been taught? Do you believe? I do believe. In fact, I feel that I know, because of God's word, that you will be reunited with your children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that they, I believe over the past few months, they've probably been my biggest cheerleaders up there. Traveling and talking about them. And
you know, God doesn't only love the children. He also loves the moms and the dads.
Right.
And so that's one of the main reasons he says, do not kill your children, because it not only kills the child, but it destroys the parents.
Yeah, it destroys so many things about you. You know, I wonder what kind of mother would I have been to the children I have now? What kind of wife would I be? Would I trust easier? What kind of daughter would I be if I wouldn't have made such a horrible decision? It changes everything about your life. It changes everything about your personality. And it's not that God can't heal those things. He does. He can and he does if you allow him to.
Yeah, that's right.
But
Kelly,
there's still a part of you that's missing.
Kelly, your website is kellyklinger.com, C-L-I-N-G-E-R.
Right.
Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y-C-L-I-N-G-E-R.com. So if somebody wants to get this Twitter feeds, find out more about you, is kellyklinger.com the best place to start?
Yes. Yeah, you can find, you can contact me through that website. It has clips of my songs, too, and you can get to my Twitter and my Facebook, too, through that website.
Mm. And then something, a story that has occurred in the pro-life movement in the last few weeks, and I thought maybe we could talk about it for one moment. We have just a last minute and a half or so. But you, I believe you've heard of some of the pro-life women like Judah Myers and Rebecca Kiesling who are standing up for and actually leading now what is amounting to hundreds of women who either have been raped or have been the products of rape. And they have come out and said that we need to love and protect every child without exception. Are you familiar with that effort?
Yes.
And then, Kelly, Abby Johnson is a former Planned Parenthood abortion clinic director, and praise God that she has repented, and she is now fighting to stop the killing of unborn children. But in Texas, she recently said she was advocating for regulation, and she said, look, we got to get over this rape and incest exception thing, you know, at least for now. And some of these women have stood up and said, these children are made in God's image, God's likeness. They deserve to be protected by love and by law. We don't just concede that battle.
Right. I was raped when I was on tour, and so I've been through that. I didn't get pregnant, but I understand the experiences of what that's like.
Oh.
However, I believe that God creates life, and that God is the one who should say when life begins and when it ends. Mm. And regardless of how a child gets in the mother's womb, to me, isn't something that should even be addressed. It's still a child.
Right, right.
So the Bible speaks about, you know, the child not having to reap the consequences of the parent.
Yeah, expressly God says, do not punish the child for the sins of the father.
Right.
So because the father is a rapist, you don't kill the child, and that's still mom's boy or girl.
Right.
Wow. So, Kelly, your life is an extraordinary testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he can do with us when we humble ourselves before him. Would you think, this is a weird question, of course I should know the answer, but I'd rather hear it from you. Would you think we should be praying for Britney Spears?
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, Christina Aguilera was arrested
just
last
yesterday,
night for
right? Yeah.
Public drunkenness or something like that,
I saw.
But, yeah, I mean, I believe we need to be praying for these people that are in the public eye. Charlie Sheen, all these people who are destroying themselves from the inside. They're addicted to themselves, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine what an awesome day it would be if some of these people met the Lord and that their lives were fulfilled through him and that they pointed to him for their accomplishments.
Maybe somehow, you know, some sow, others water, others reap. Maybe somehow God will be able to work through you to reach Brittany.
I hope so.
That would be a joy. Thank you, Kelly Klinger. What an honor to have you on.
Thank you.
All right. That is Kelly Klinger. Her website, kellyklinger.com. You see why Colorado Right to Life, when they fly people into our state to encourage us, they often choose strong, young leaders who could make an impact throughout their lives. And then we try to encourage one another and strengthen one another. What Kelly said about the Christian music industry, tragically, it's true. Hey, check us out, kgov.com, and wow, what a donation. Thanks, guys.